Yo, what up? This is Generic from Animal Farm. Whenever I'm cruising online, I check out my peoples over at nappyafro.com. Make sure you do the same.
Nappyafro.com.
You are now tuned into the dopest podcast for the dopest network on the internet. This is the Frocast, episode 201. I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. the Black Alex P. Keaton, sitting in with the homie Germ. Say what's up to the people, bro.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, King Germ, a.k.a. the people's champ, a.k.a. the most electrifying motherfucking podcast of the day, a.k.a. Mr. 201, man. I couldn't think of no other a.k.a., man. I probably could, but I was just like, man, you know.
Mr. 201?
Yes, man.
What's up, Mr. 201?
That's just the number of Frocast we on, man. That's the first one I could think of, man.
I just want you to say it again, because we did episode 200 for the people.
Oh, we did do episode 200?
We did episode 200. We made special accommodations to make sure we get it done. And we got three comments.
Three.
And one is by, you know, the homie RT3. He always gonna come through.
Yeah.
We got MJMoney9S. He always gonna come through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know who the third one is. That's how important it was to y'all.
I think GQ Blue was the third.
GQ Blue said the slander. You know, he felt special because of science. And that's it!
Yeah.
So, I think we're done making special cases for shit. We're just going to do the show.
Man. I mean, no shout-outs this episode. No
shout-outs, man.
None. Man. Y'all get no fucking shout-outs. No fucking more. None of y'all. Not even blank, blank, blank. Not even blank, blank, blank. None of y'all.
We just turned 200. We couldn't get, you know. Hey, anyway, man. We're not going to complain because we got bigger things to talk about. Rest in peace to Fife, man. Fife Dog. Damn.
Yeah, man.
45 years old. Fife is transcended. You know, rest in beats. Hey, man. Tribe Called Quest. A lot of you youngins are like, who? I remember back a while ago. This is maybe 2009. I put up that post with the Tribe Called Quest. I put up a little mixtape.
Yeah.
One of the readers was asking about it. I ain't heard nothing about it since. Y'all still don't really know who Tribe is. I'm sure now, you know, all y'all gonna act like y'all know who Tribe is, or at least y'all looking it up. But Tribe was important, man. Native Tongues Crew, Tribe Called Quest. Who is your favorite out of Tribe?
Fife Dawg, easily.
I think people forget how dope Fife was.
Fife was the coolest one. Like, he was like, he wasn't all, he seemed like he was more down to earth than the rest of the guys. Like, it seemed like, and I'm not knock on, you know, was Ali Shaheed or whatever his name is. Like, and, you know, a Q-Tip, you know what I'm saying? And the other guy that was there before.
Like one album.
the cook guy, now he's a chef now, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect to them guys, but Fife seemed like the most down to earth one. He always had the sports jerseys on. He was very heavy in the sports, and he was always the coolest one to me. You might catch him with some Air Maxes on, anything. Like, he was always the coolest one, like, you know. And so that's why Fife was my favorite, you know what I'm saying? It just, that kind of, you know what I'm saying, it kind of took me back when I seen he passed the other morning. I was on my way to work. I seen that, and I was just like, darn. Because it was just like, man, like, people, I can say about childhood, but it's just like, you know, these are celebrities. Like, this ain't like our mama or daddy celebrities. These are celebrities that's passing away now. So it kind of, you know, it hit home a little bit, bro. It hit home.
Yeah, man, like the way he used to swag in on the track. Like, his intros was always dope. It seemed like he fit. He wasn't trying to do extra. Even his little solo album was straight. You know what I'm saying? It took a while for Q-Tip, at least in my opinion, it took a while for Q-Tip to find his groove. Fife was just a different cat. Like, I guess you can compare them to Outkast. I think Fife was like the big boy of the group.
Yeah.
He's always stayed in the same lane. He's always spit the same shit. He's always been dope with it. He didn't do that experimental extra shit like, you know, Tip or your boy Stax. So, you know, rest in peace to Fife, man. I see everybody out there shouting it out. This one hits more home to me than the Dilla. I know that's slander because Dilla's the guy, but I didn't get on Dilla like that. I went into producing heavy like that. So when Dilla passed, I had to play catch up. Fife, hey, that shit hit home, bro.
Yeah, man.
That shit hit home. You got a favorite, you know, Tribe song or Fife verse?
Bugging Out, man. That's probably my favorite shit, man. Just the whole, you know, microphone check, 1-2, what is it? 5 foot. Yeah, that's my shit, man. I float like gravity. Never had a cavity. Got more crimes than a woman's got family. Like, I mean, that shit was
just... He just came in with it. That's his whole thing. I think for me, probably Check the Rhyme.
Mm.
Like, when he came in on that, it was dope again. You know, here's a funky introduction. How about Nice I Am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send the telegram. I'm like an energizer cousin. See, I last long. My crew was never ever whack because we stand. Like, he came through, and at the end of that shit, he was just like, just clean out your ears and check. Like, he just, it was real simple. It was real direct. And he was just dope with it, man. He was just dope with it. That whole, matter of fact, that whole album is a classic, by the way. Low End Theory. I think we wrote that on the site at some point. Somebody wrote that. But it's dope, man. You know, so rest in peace to Fife. Damn, man. That one sucks. Like, who's the next hip hop, you know, Jay-Z aside, that's really going to make.
Oh, man. Look.
That's going to hurt.
Hey, when Sean Corey Carter passed away, bruh.
That's going to be the end.
Dog, that's like, I just can't imagine, like, the outpour, the public outpour, like, especially if he died, like, in the next 10 years, like, some shit like that, with Jay, like, still, like, at 40, 50, you know what I'm saying? Not, like, 70. Like, you know, 70 years old, you die, you know, you're supposed to die, you 70. You die before 50, you know what I'm saying? You know, 40, like, you know, all that shit. You know, that shit is, like, man, I just couldn't imagine. Well, Jay-Z already 50 now, so, I mean, you know.
This shit's going to go bad, bro. Everybody's going to do a tribute. It's going to go bad.
It'll be ridiculous. Like, they going to like, niggas going to be calling in sick from work that day. Like, niggas, nah, I know one nigga that's going to, like,
that might be when we close.
Like, hey, bro. Like
that might be it. All bullshit aside, like, if we don't end before then, if that happens, it's over. He's not going to do the site no more.
Hey, B-Eazy going to be on suicide alert. y'all not going to stand. Like, we're going to have to go to B-Eazy house, take all neckties, shoelaces, all sharp objects. Like, I mean, he already done. Don't starve himself to death. Like, that's going to really put him over the edge right there, man. That's going to do it.
That shit's gonna be it, man. I don't like talking about that, dog.
Oh, and I gotta apologize to GQ Blue for the slander last week.
No.
Beezy said I went a little too hard on him.
Are we serious right now?
I mean, I don't want Blue to feel like it's. I mean, if Beezy said I went too hard, maybe I did. And I ain't want Blue to feel no type of way about that, bro. So I just want to apologize to Blue, man, for the slander. You know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I be on one, but I just want to apologize, bro.
Ain't that a bitch?
I'm feeling the tone right now.
Ain't that a bitch?
Just saying it's all right, man.
You done slandered Gabby. You done slandered me. You done slandered everybody in Hollywood. Right. Harder than you slandered GQ. But GQ gets the apology.
Man, listen. I just, like, Beezy said I went a little. He's like, man, you went a little extra. I was like, damn. I said, you think? He was like, bro. Like, he's like, you can't talk to everybody like you talk to me. Like, everybody ain't gonna take it. So maybe he's saying GQ Blue light skin. I don't know.
I know he called me light skin before when you went in on me. Like, that nigga, but he texted.
Maybe he's saying GQ Blue babe with one of them little fluffy little things. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
I just like the same consideration. I'm just putting my bid in right now. I just like the same consideration. You go in on me and Beezy got mad that I got offended.
I'm just saying, I mean, maybe GQ Blue wear thong flip-flops. I don't know. I don't understand, that. Like, why. I felt like everything was normal, but, you know, I don't want to be, you know.
GQ has ties, and he just went ahead and made a phone call, got Easy shook up, and then Easy said something to you.
And look, be Easy probably like, man, ain't got my income tax yet, man. GQ Blue done goddamn called some people up in the government. I'm holding this check. You know,
motherfucker got an audit in the mail. He's like, oh shit, Snappy Afro's being audited. What the fuck happened? GQ smiling. He said that black and white picture. He's like, oh shit, we got to clean up the act, man. Some other shit going on, man. Now, this is, you got this. We staying with music right now. You got this on the topic. I can't talk much about this shit because I just found out about it. I'm really the old man. What the fuck is going on with Kirk Franklin doing the Millie Rock?
Did you not see that shit?
I saw it. What?
I had that on the outline.
Yeah, you got so the question is, as you have it on the outline, is has New York lost their swag? That fucking song Panda, the Millie Rock. Okay. Where's the real New York music? That's what you got on here.
Okay, I see that. Okay. Yeah. Where the Kirk
Franklin did the Millie Rock.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just bringing that up with this topic.
Gotcha. Because I was just like, that's not how I have it on the outline. Okay.
So I'm just tired. What the fuck, I've heard Panda.
You heard Panda by Designer.
Yeah.
What does he sound like?
Well, he sound like Future, but they all sound like Future to me.
Okay. He even got another song that sounds like Future. He's talking about something about Pluto or some shit. I'm just like, hold on, man. You can't, like, Future, the only nigga talk about Pluto.
They just straight swaggerjacking out here.
I mean, these new niggas don't give a fuck, man. Like, they will take your shit. right from up under your fucking legs, nigga. And anyway, I think New York lost their swag, man.
Did they lose it or was it stolen? Because there's
no stolen. New York lost it. Like nobody stole New York shit. Like it was just like they like right now their hottest song is Panda, which is a bite on the South. And then the Millie Rock song, which is, you know, another bite of the South. Like, you know, Millie Rock, I know you heard the song before, right? It's all right.
Yeah.
That is the perfect, that is the down South recipe for a hit right there. You got a catchy hook, check. Dance move, check.
Yeah.
Sing along rhymes, check. Boom, we got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel bad for New York, man. Like, New York
used to. Go ahead.
They used to be trendsetters. Now look at them, man. This is the hottest shit right now. Like, their hottest rapper is a nigga named Panda. I mean, the song called Panda. I mean, what the fuck?
I'm not a fan all the time of songs that really have no fucking lyrics that make any sense. But this one grooves in the gym. Like, it's a good tune. And the
Kelly motherfucker gets beat is raw.
Yeah, but Panda, I was like, what the fuck? Is he really saying Panda?
Let's just read some of the lyrics for the listeners.
There's actual lyrics?
Yes. The song, this is the intro. The bridge says, Panda, 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 hot, hot, hot. You know what I'm saying? The hook goes, I got bras in Atlanta, twisting dope, lean, and the Fanta, credit cards and the scammers, hitting off licks in the bando, black X6 Phantom, white X6 look like a panda, going out like a Montana, 100 killers, 100 hammers, black X6 Phantom, white X6 Panda, pocket swole Danny, selling bar, candy.
Oh my God, it ain't finishing the whole
macho. No, it's all right, it gets better. Man, I'm the macho like Randy, the chopper go Oscar for Grammy, bitch nigga pull up your panty, hope you killers understand me. Like, whoa, bars.
It's not even, so when you're writing lyrics, if you put any punctuation, you couldn't put any on that. There's not a complete sentence in that shit.
No, and look,
the very first one might be the first complete sentence.
You say the hook twice.
Man, this is trash.
Bruh, the hook is twice. Like, how do you have the hook twice before no verse? Like,
this shit is trash.
Jesus Christ.
And so, on the heels of this, like, this is just even to make the New York shit really short, right? So, on the heels of you putting this on the outline, I watched the Organized Noize documentary on Netflix, and the comparison, there's really no comparison. Like, the South had that shit in spades, bruh. Now, I'm not even a Goody Mob fan, but I would take any Goody Mob song over this shit that we got on this list right now. I don't know what's going on with New York. I watched the beat. You know, they were talking about, apparently your boy Mr. Leanback and Remy Ma got a song together. And they talking about how that's going to be the next big thing for New York. Have you heard that song? Yeah, Fat Joe and Remy Ma got a song that's supposed to be. Apparently, they're doing a whole album.
Anything can be big for New York right now because they have nothing.
But have you heard that song?
No, I haven't. And look, Remy Ma, I'm more interested in her tits than her music right now. Come on, let's be honest. Hey, ever since she came out of prison, man, she upgraded a little bit, man. Remy Ma is she's some eye candy now, man.
But hasn't she always been low-key eye candy?
No, she used to be rough around the edges. What are you talking about?
Remy always seemed like she had a little the hood swag to me. I kind of dug her anyway. But when she came in for the interview, she did look like even Joe lost his shit because he was sitting there talking about how she just a sister. And she came in and he was like, oh my God, you look beautiful right now. I was like, whoa. Like, you know, Pap is close. Slow down because Pap don't give a fuck. Y'all be fighting out there. But
hey, I heard if you take off Papoose's hat, he got another hat under that hat.
He like Prince. He wear high heeled sock with his high heeled shoes.
That nigga probably got a mean bald spot in his head right now.
Hey, but he still got a bad one on his arm. What can you say? But you watched the Organized Noize documentary.
Yes, I did.
Right? What'd you think, bro? Like, you know,
I love that shit. I'm gonna watch it again once it's Frocast. Well, actually, I'm gonna watch basketball once we get through recording this Frocast. But I will watch it again and again. Like, I really enjoyed that shit just to see, you know, the origins of the whole Dungeon Family, Organized Noise production group, and just to see, you know, because like I said, that's some shit that I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they bigger than Outkast and Goody and all that, you know what I'm saying? But just to see how they formed and what they went through and to get where they was and just some of the little stories, nigga, just to hear how, like when, just the waterfalls, whole waterfalls deal, and yeah, when they first got on, like first of all, Buddy said that he was working at the Marriott when Waterfalls came out.
Yeah.
Waterfalls came out with about 99, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So this nigga said he's still working at the Marriott in 2016.
Threw me for a loop. I had to rewind that part. I said, wait, what happened?
He said, well, I still work at the day. So I'm like, bitch, you better be the motherfucking, you better own that motherfucking Marriott, goddamn. But you better be a bellhop or no shit like that.
Did he get any writer credit on that shit, though?
He had to.
Gave him that song.
Mm.
Like, when he said it, Ray said they gave him that song. They said he called Face and gave it to him.
I didn't want
to
get him that hit, man.
Yeah, he said he wrote that shit and gave it to him. So I don't know if you know, that was just Quez. That was just a dude that came in and offered that shit up. I don't know if he got any writing credit for that shit.
Damn.
So when I'm looking, yeah, he actually did. Marquez Etheridge. So he's on here. Mm. Lisa Lopes and Organized Lopez. Noise. So Lopes. Fuck that Lopez shit. That's Lopes. but yeah, so he got. So what happened to your monies, motherfucker, to where you still working at Marriott? That song, you should be able to retire.
Look, we don't know. You know, y'all. Hey, look, TLC wasn't able to retire off that one song. Shit.
You know what? Good fucking point. that label, that deal they had was treacherous. So, good point. That's pretty sad, though. That's pretty sad.
He wrote the whole song, and the only thing left I wrote was her verse.
That's it. He came in, he gave them the hook. They built the thing around, they built the music around the hook, and you still working in Marriott. I'm not hating, you got a job, but if you produce a song that's on the radio like that, everybody else quit when the one song hit. When Players Ball hit, everybody quit their job.
This was in 96, so this was 20 fucking years ago.
Hey, that's rough, bro. Yeah, that was before I went to Atlanta, because Atlanta was busting out the seams at that point. So, everybody else quit when Players Ball hit, but you still working at Marriott. Somebody not hustling right.
Still working.
Somebody not hustling right. Well, dude said that they had a what was the deal, $20 million? And it got cut after $3
million? Yep.
How do you walk away from $17
million? Nigga, sometimes you don't have a choice.
No, but that's what he was saying. And he said that they could have stayed and made them pay that money, but he felt like they failed, so they left.
Mm.
No. how'd that happen? No. You only collected $3 million. Your overhead for the label was $1 million for the year. So you $1.15 million is probably easy. So you only got half of that piece. Hey man, that's not a good look, bro. If we hit it big and Easy said right now, you know, I know our contract said that y'all supposed to get $20 million, but this shit ain't working out. So, you know, if y'all could walk away, that'd be cool. I'd be like, Easy, it ain't personal, but you gonna pay me that $20 million.
Yeah, you pay me something, nigga. You pay me. Hey, look. Hey.
You gonna pay me that half? You gonna pay me that $20 million? Yeah. Dude, I'm not gonna leave $17 million on the table. Mm-mm. And all three of y'all left it? Nah, bro. That's a bad look, man. But y'all gotta watch the documentary on Netflix.
Got to talk about the art of Organized Noise.
Shout out to the homie Mr. Soul, who did the artwork for that shit down in Atlanta. Atlanta artist. Y'all was showing up real big on that, man. And that is my favorite Outkast album, Southern Playalistic. So hearing them talk about that shit, I was in heaven.
Bro, like, hey, look, now I finally got to see what Peaches look like. I was just like, all my life, I was wanting to
Peaches. All my life.
Want to know who was Peaches. Like, I wish she could have said, yo, what was you saying? Like, was you saying DeVry on that motherfucker? Like, what was you saying? Like, this goes all that players out there hustling, getting down for them from East Point, College Point, Decatur, DeVry. Like, you saying DeVry? Like, I just like, you know, niggas worldwide. Like, I just, like, finally seen Peaches, and just to see, man. And then, to learn little shit, like, you know, okay, let's talk about the 400 pound. Hey, Outkast did Organized Noise wrong, bro. Like, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I love Outkast to death, my favorite group of all time, the greatest group of all time. I think they did them boys wrong when they, like they said, their biggest album of all time, the Speaker Box Love Below shit, and they ain't let them niggas work on one song.
So here's my question about that. First of all, we only got one side of the story.
It don't matter. You've been on every album except for that one.
So that's my next question. Are they them not being on the album? Is that the reason why the album was the biggest of all time?
No. He's just saying he wanted to be a part of it. That's all. That's all he was saying. Like, just let us. We ain't have to do it. He said, "I just wanted to be a part of it." That's all he's saying.
Right.
Like,
but that's what I'm saying. Is the reason that the album is the biggest of all time because they weren't involved?
No. It was the biggest album. It was their biggest album because that's when they was at the utmost of the zenith. Hot as they get hot right then. They was the frying pan was so hot right then. It didn't matter what they threw out on the album. It was gonna do like that, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree that they did them wrong, but I'm wondering if there's any validity to the fact that y'all not involved, which is why the shit was hot. That's all I'm saying.
Sleepy was on I Like the Way You Move, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. As an artist.
As an artist, you know what I'm saying? Because at the time he was trying to be an artist. He wasn't trying to, you know, make it too many beats or nothing like that. So I feel what Rico was saying, because he was just like, bro, like all that shit, like, y'all niggas used to sleep in my mama's house. Like, I mean, he could have went there. Like, nigga, I used to pay for everything. Nigga, chicken neck. Like, what? Like, all we want to do is be, you know, let us do one song. Like, it ain't have to be, you know, come on,
but
man.
But you did four albums.
Just look. Even, like you said, even on AT Aliens, them boys did Elevators. They produced that shit. So he's not saying they couldn't do it. He's just saying, like, hey, just show us some pay homage for showing you the recipe on how to make the organized sound.
But how much homage do we have to pay? You were on four albums. You've done four albums. We want to do one album by ourselves. You've done four.
You can at least give me one song, bro.
And then, like you said, four albums.
But look, man, they family, bro. Like, it's different. And then he said they didn't even thank him at the award show. Come on, man.
Now that part's that's also dirty as fuck. But four albums with Outkast is probably what? At least 15 songs an album?
But they not doing every song. They, like I said,
it doesn't matter. You got a part of four. We just want to do this one thing. Like, this whole album is separate. Mm. Like, why wouldn't it be different? I got one album. He got one album. We want to do this our own way. This is our voice. This is why we're doing it this way. Why do we owe you the chance to do a song when you did four albums?
I'll be like, because I gave you your voice, motherfucker.
So if they did 20 albums later, do they still owe them to be on album 20?
Hell yeah.
No, bruh.
Yes.
As an artist, you don't have to do that shit. You got four albums.
Hey, look. If Guru was still alive, he always gonna have a beat from Primo, regardless.
That's his thing, but that don't mean it's the rule for everybody.
Primo probably was like, man, I'm not down with that jazz shit, nigga. Guru's like, yo, man, trust me, man. We can do some jazz, put some Primo cuts to it. This shit would be awesome. Primo was like, man, fuck this shit. I'm a hip-hop nigga. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he was part of it. Why? Just because. He's like, yo, we can't have one without the other. And that's, I understand that. It's just a loyalty thing, man.
I don't think that just wanting to do an album by yourself, especially for this album. This isn't Stank on You. This is an album that's a separate album. Each of us got our own part. We're trying to explore something. I don't think that's being disloyal. Not thanking these motherfuckers when you win an award is disloyal.
Yeah, but look, and then, but okay, you did your thing, and y'all got songs that sound like shit that we'd make. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just like, what are you saying? Like, you gonna take shit that you gonna take my sound, but you don't want me. You know what I'm saying? That seems something funny about it. Like Buddy said, it was a little arrogant of them. You know what I'm saying?
You can't
tell me Prototype don't sound like some organized noise would make.
I don't disagree with that.
I like the way you move sound like some organized noise, mate.
Don't disagree with that either.
Why couldn't they, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Just one song.
Because,
you know?
But I don't understand why that's required. Like, we've made our mark with you. We've done four albums. We put this whole goddamn city on the map. We put the South up.
And look, what's gonna hurt you for letting me produce one song?
It's not about hurting. It's about the, as an artist, about wanting to do something that's completely your shit. Regardless of the influences,
but you've been doing your shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they said, they've been producing their own shit. It was just like, you know, it wasn't. I mean,
when you look at the album, it makes complete sense to me. Speaker Box, one album is Big Boy, one album is Dre. They did it by their own production. It makes complete sense to me.
I understand, but each one of them could have came to them like, yo, I want you to do a song for me on this one. Both of them could have came. They ain't have to do nothing collective. Like it's what Andre. He's on Big Boy album, but Big Boy ain't on Andre album. You know what I'm saying? It's just like,
but they didn't want to. Like, I don't see that. I don't see that as a problem. Y'all not now. Maybe there's something in the way they said it, or the way it was done that makes it more fucked up. But just on the surface, on the paper, saying that we want to do an album by ourselves doesn't seem disrespectful.
I mean,
especially when you out there doing, like, they didn't
Let me ask you questions, all right? What if I know like your phone ain't buzzing like it was buzzing, and this could help you out at this time? See what I'm saying?
That's like, what I'm saying. If it's other shit in the mix, then that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what he was saying. Like, you know, my phone wasn't ringing like that no more. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this could have helped me out. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, you know, all y'all had to let me do one song. Like, you know, just throw that back out there. Like, niggas, like, oh, that's right. What can I know? It still do make beats. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn. But, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Which is, you know, one of the things I always wonder why CeeLo wasn't more involved with Outkast shit. Why Goody Mob wasn't more involved with Outkast shit. Like, why they were so separate. Was always weird to me. Like, y'all crew. Y'all should just roll. Like, everybody on Puffy's album was on everybody's shit. Biggie was everywhere. 112 was singing backgrounds. The motherfuckers was everybody. Every album sounded like a compilation. So that's weird to me how that shit broke down. And I think that's a good point. Like, hey, we kind of cooling off. Y'all still napalm. Hook us up.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense to me. But at the same time, Rico's out here producing shit for Toni Braxton and En Vogue, and he wasn't throwing out Outkast on that shit.
Ain't he did. He did throw Outkast on that shit.
Oh, shit.
Early.
He did the remix.
What About Your Friend's remix? Threw him on that. What else? He threw his artists out there anytime he could now. Come on now, don't Rico. Like I said, Rico said I could have raped these niggas. I didn't. Niggas were telling me I was crazy for not raping them.
Hey, like I said, I'm not disagreeing that them not thanking them was fucked up. I don't know that I don't think that them not asking to be on this album is a problem. But you got to thank your people, man. You can't get out there. Like he said, Face didn't even know fucking music like that. L.A. Reid didn't know rap. Yeah. L.A. Reid even said it in the interview. He didn't know rap like that. He L.A. Reid sounded like, hey, look. This is going to sound real sacrilege, right? But we don't have anybody that listens that gives a shit. L.A. Reid sounded like Uncle Tom when he was doing that interview. He said, I didn't know anything about rap. And these cats came in here and I expected them to be bad dudes. I expected to get, you know, some thugs is what he said, basically. And he got in there and they were good guys and he was shocked. What the fuck? You scared of your own people, nigga?
Of course.
Hey, man.
He's far removed from his people.
But he was in it.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? When Reid was up there making his name and they was building, you was in it. This is who you was fucking with. This is why you left other labels. It's because you was like, you want to do your shit. So when he said that, that kind of pissed me off a little bit. I was like, man, that's some bullshit. You know what else I thought about this damn, and we talking about this for way too long. When I was looking at that video, it's funny how Outkast, I don't know if people remember this, when Outkast first came out, they was street in the motherfucker, as far as they dress.
Mm-hmm.
Big Boy ain't really changed.
Nope.
Stax. I don't know what the fuck he be wearing, bro.
You thank Erykah Badu for that.
Is that really when it happened?
That's what he said in that song, on his last song on his album.
Because he was with, yeah, I guess so.
Cause he met a girl. I was in D.C. at something, spoken something. He said he was wearing a turban at the time. I met some girl or something. You might know her as Erykah on and on Badu. Call Tyrone on the phone. Why you do that girl like that? You ought to be ashamed. The song ain't about me. And boy, that ain't my name. But yeah, that song right there. Yeah, he kind of,
ATL is that's when the shit went weird.
Like, yeah.
Southern Playlist went dope as fuck, and then it went weird. At that point, Stack started wearing turbans and dressing up like he was part of Sugar Hill Gang or some shit.
I used to wear the turbans and shit?
Stop it.
I did, sorry. I swear to God.
The turbans with the receiver gloves?
Nigga. You had to, I used to wear a jersey with my turban, nigga.
Abuse.
I had different color ones. I had a black one, a blue one,
an actual turban. We're not talking about like the Music Soul Child rapper T-shirt around your head. You're talking about an actual turban.
Turban like Dre, like Stax had used to wear, bro. Yes, you had to buy them from the beauty supply store. Them shits were cheap as fuck. Niggas like, yo, please. You really, man, that's how deep I was in Outkast. I still got my Outkast shirt I bought from my first Outkast concert, bro. That shit is fucking, I only like touching that shit because it might fall apart. Like, that's how thin that shit done got now,
dude,
man.
You please have a picture of that. For all the slander you've done for me, I need a picture of that.
What, me in a turban?
Yes.
Oh man, I don't think I got the turban no more. I don't think I have a picture of that. Yeah, it's.
I need that.
I can post on Facebook right now. I'm like, yo, you remember when I used to rock the turban? Nigga, I'm gonna start laughing. Like,
I need to see that. Post that up. I want to see the response.
I'm gonna post it. I'm like, yo, Randy. I'm like, Randy, remember when I used to wear the turban, rock the turban like 3,000? Watch.
I hope somebody posts a picture. Do you have any actual, not the concert shirt, do you have any of the Outkast clothing? Like when they had their actual clothing?
I bought a shirt. I had some Outkast shirt. It was I didn't have any of the jeans. I know I had a T-shirt. And that what's the name of the group? It was something three something. What's the name of it? So it had a three on it. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I had some Outkast stuff. Yeah,
man. When I had a Outkast long sleeve T-shirt that just had the Outkast logo, but it had all kinds of artsy shit in there. Favorite shirt in the world. When that motherfucker got too small, bruh, and believe me, it was too small. I gave that away crying. I was like, no, not this shirt. And she was so dope. And she was so dope to me. Outkast was just different, man. Oh, shit. Y'all got to watch that documentary anyway, man. We done went off track. But that's how dope it is. Y'all got to check this shit out. What do you think about Goody Mob in general? When you compare, if you can compare. Like, are you a big Goody Mob fan?
Yes, I love their first two albums.
They was cool.
I mean, it was just something. I like their first two albums. I mean, one, it has one of the greatest songs on it of all time. Thought Process, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Not going to disagree with you there.
And that's album number one. And album number two had some dope shit on it. Like, it had The Damn, the Dirty South song, I mean, Flyaway song. Yeah. It had a whole mess. They first two albums to me dope. You know, the third album, like, was it... can't think of the third one. Is that World Party or some shit like that?
Yeah,
you deep like that. That was one where you could tell like they were forced to do this album. Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't, you could tell it was trying to, you know, go away from each other. But I mean, I don't have nothing wrong with Goody. I mean, they like I said, their first two albums dope to me.
Hey man, CeeLo used to spit like a motherfucker. Oh, I missed that CeeLo. What's wrong?
Like, he used to do the little rhyming shit. Like every line and rhyme.
Yes.
I don't recall graduating at all. Sometimes I feel I'm just a disappointment to y'all. Every day I just lay around. Then I can't be found. Always got to give me some. Living life like a. Like he always hit you up.
Yeah. he always hit dope with that shit.
Yes, man, I ain't shit. I know how to rhyme a little bit. Like that nigga just.
It was just. His swag on that shit was just dope, man. Even his, I think it was his first solo album. He had a couple songs where he was just spitting. I forget the name of that damn song.
I couldn't do the CeeLo Green and the experience. He was just it was just a little too far for me. I was just like, nah, this ain't the CeeLo I know. Like CeeLo I know was around here snapping niggas up and shit. Like this CeeLo wearing sequins and wigs and shit. Like I don't know what the fuck going on.
That was what I was about to say too. It was funny how him and Stax went to that extreme.
Yeah,
and everybody else stayed same flow that they had before, same style. What was on that first album? That was the Imperfect Imperfections?
Yeah, that one.
I think that's the one where he was spitting. It was called Talking Shit or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And he was just spitting. Maybe it was Getting Grown was dope. Basshead Jazz was dope. It was one where he was just rapping. It's just flat out spitting. And after. Maybe it's Well Damn. I don't know. But he was just spitting. And I was like, God damn, One for the Road. That's what it is. One for the Road. If you haven't checked out One for the Road by CeeLo, check that shit out. He just spitting. And you like, God damn, you forget how good he was with that shit. So anyway, we done talked about this shit way too long. And we way off track from the outline. We did have one more thing to talk about. It's not really music related, but it's bad motherfucker related. I guess we got two topics. Okay. Should we talk about Hogan or Cat Williams first?
Let's go ahead and get Hogan out the way. Cat Williams going to be another one that we're going to get caught up on. Because I feel like we're going to disagree on the Cat Williams one. But let's go ahead and talk about Hulk Hogan,
you know, so the setup and the story was that he got set up into a sex tape. His neighbor, this is what I remember. And of course, we ain't going to fact check this because it's Hulk Hogan. He don't like niggas. But apparently his neighbor told him to smash his wife. Like, there was part of that they down with it and they recorded it. So then when they recorded it, they sold that to Gawker. And that's why Hogan got upset. So sex tape is out. Mm-hmm. So... the way the lawsuit went is that Hogan being able to sit in court with his do-rag on is fucking amazing to me.
Awesome.
How does that even happen? How does that legally happen when you had to remove your hat in the courtroom, bro?
It's not a hat.
And apparently, I guess it goes under that whole religious covering. I don't know what it is, but Hogan's sitting on the witness stand with a black blazer on and his do-rag. Amazing. So he pulls that off. But he's in there basically saying, you know, the lawsuit is going on. What they ended up saying is that for each view, which I think they only charge like $4 a view, Hogan got paid. Or he got paid $4 a view. I think that's what it was. He got paid $4 a view is what their settlement was. It ended up being $115 million.
Jesus!
That's how many people saw the video. Mm. So then on top of that, they awarded him another $25 million in punitive damages.
Whoa!
So Hogan walked away from a sex tape for $140 million, Richard. Mm. And now he's already talking about WWE. I don't think they're going to bring you back right now, bro.
Yeah, look. That was your payment for getting fucked up by WWE.
That's
yeah.
it. We can't touch you now.
$140 million was for getting your name drugged through the mud, getting all your shit erased. So they said, look, man, we're going to look out for you, Hulk Hogan. We're going to give you $140 million. So just take your $140 Hulk, and walk the fuck away, bro.
Walk away, bro. Like, all the money you had before is all good. You got another $140
million. Yeah, you can't do any, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do any endorsements, speaking engagements now. Nobody, you know, like, who cares? Like, bro, get your money, ride off in the sunset. And say nigger as much as you want.
You bought it. $140 million. There you go, bro. Yes. Say as much as you want. This shit's over. You can't talk about shit else. You have to start your own federation, but retire right off.
Exactly. You just
the other one that we want to talk about. Cat Williams. Again in the news. Like, this is how it goes. When Cat Williams is in the news, he's in the news hot for like 6 months.
Mm.
This one, when I saw the full video, it looked like he was helping coach or he was helping play.
He was out there playing soccer in Gainesville, Georgia. Soccer.
He wasn't coaching. He was playing.
Yeah.
So he's playing with his kids and some shit goes bad with one of the kids.
Yeah.
And they walking off and jawing. Mm-hmm. Talking shit. Cat Williams sits down and I guess the kid is still talking shit. And Cat Williams heard something that made him stand up. What Cat Williams says is he threatened him, right? This kid is 17.
Mm.
Cat Williams is 42?
Yeah, 41, 42, somewhere around there.
Somewhere in there. So Cat Williams stands up at this point, and they're eye to eye, because, you know, both these motherfuckers little. And something happened, and Cat decided to punch that motherfucker. They hit him right in his face. Sucker punch. Bam. Mm. And it was on. Now, after that, Cat Williams tried to kick him a couple times. He ended up getting slammed to the ground. He almost getting choked out before people jumped in. What is your thoughts on this shit? Because you said we're going to disagree.
Well, I'm Team Cat on this one because, Cat Williams was doing a community service. He was out there just, you know, how many days? I mean, like, first of all, I love that it was in a project. There's a lot of Mexicans and blacks, so I'm assuming it was a project. I seen a lot of bricks. So, you know, the field was all fucked up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, if you ever been to Gainesville, Georgia, you would swear you was in Guadalajara, you know what I'm saying? Because it looked just like Mexico. I mean, I could drop you off. Sorry, right now. I mean, you're in Texas, so this is nothing new to you.
Right.
But somebody outside of Texas, if I blindfolded you, took you somewhere, dropped you off in fucking Gainesville, you would swear you was back in Texas. You'd be like, God damn. And you know, they're like signs is in Spanish, like everything. Like you, so bad out there. And so Cat Williams out there playing soccer and shit. You know, them niggas, you know, jarring off, talking trash, which nothing is wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Nothing is wrong with that. He playing sports. But the kid, you know what I'm saying, I guess he couldn't take it. Like, Cat Williams is a professional comedian. So, he's going to, you know, give you some lip. You know, if they were having a Jones session, I had no problem with it. Problem I had when a little boy invaded Cat Williams' space. Right then, all bets are off Cat Williams. You had a right to defend yourself. And he did what he had to do. Now, granted, the little kid got the best of him. But, Cat Williams stole off on him first, and I will always remember that. Cat Williams goddamn caught little boy with that right hand that was something funny, nigga. Like, boom! Like, he set it off on him. Had little boy on the news the next day talking about it, his face was still swole up. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, hey, Cat won. So Cat Sweet. Williams, I'm behind you. I'm starting to believe what you're saying. The media, they're trying to make you appear to be insane. That's what they do. You know what I'm saying? They did it to all the other greats. And now they're doing it to you, Cat. So, man, just lay low, Cat, man. You know, don't give in, but just stay out of public eye, man. That's just why I'm in.
So, you condone?
I condone it, yes.
Punching a kid in the face?
Yes.
What if that was your kid?
If my kid was out there being, you know, rude and disrespectful and some man punched him in his face, I would say, hey, that's what you got, son. You know, because like I said, once you stepped up, like, he was challenging, like, yo, stand up. Cat Williams was like, no, I ain't gonna, he's like, make me stand up. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you see him when they was going back, and he was like, oh yeah, you used to be good. I used to think it was funny. And Cat Williams was like, I think you're gonna have acne till you're 26. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a Jones session going on. And then little boy, you know, he couldn't take it. So, you know, cause Cat Williams went in the crowd, he closed in, got closer to him, and then, yeah, you gotta punch him, man. You got to.
That's a kid, man. You can't be punching a kid, so man.
I would punch a kid right now. If
you can't say that. You coach kids.
And listen, it's all right. If some kid about my size run up on me talking that shit, hey, I will fuck him up. I'll let him, I don't care how old he is. I'll be like, yo. Because think about it. I'll be like, yo. Plus, I live in Florida. I can kill a kid. It won't be nothing. Let's not forget that where I live at.
This shit is terrible, man. Look, Cat don't have anybody that gives a fuck around him. There's nobody there. Nobody that cares about his asses around him at all. They didn't break it up until he's getting choked out. So now, in the last 2 weeks, we've seen Cat lose two fights that he initiated. Two! Why are you still letting him fight his own battles?
I mean, like, where was the security at yesterday? Like, why was Cat riding around Dolo? Like, you know what I'm saying?
He's in the hood. He's a street cat. So
that's what he's saying. He's like, as a community, you failed because you let this broke ass nigga jump on a celebrity who's out here trying to hang out with y'all. And he said this is the reason why celebrities don't come kick in the hood. Not because they don't want to, because of dumb shit like this. And so I'm saying, like,
no, the kid was reserved. The kid, even though he was talking shit in his face, he didn't hit him.
Look, you was saying threatening shit. You in my look? It's all right.
You're 17. I'm not threatened by 17. Ain't got no weapon.
It's all right. I don't know. Look, it's all right. You might need to get out in these streets again because it's a big 17-year-old that's look like. I don't know. So I don't look. If I'm standing there talking, you keep getting closer to me, and I feel like, you know, he felt like Buddy was a threat. Like, so that's why he hit him.
Darren Wilson said about Mike Brown.
But look, this was imminent. This dude was coming up on him. Like, you was in my, like, arm reach. Like, you was close enough for me to hit you, so you was too close to me. Like, you know.
17, bro, man. Y'all was playing soccer. Y'all playing sports.
And it got out of hand. Things happen. Like, you know, niggas get into basketball.
No, you punched him. You punched him.
Because
we didn't get it tangled up or no shit. You decided that the 17-year-old was enough of a threat that you need to punch him in the face.
But look, him and the dude was the same size. The 17-year-old was bigger than him.
He's
so
17.
Like,
all right, Darren Wilson. I see you.
I'm not Darren Wilson. I'm saying.
You sound like Darren Wilson, bro.
Oh, my God.
As a man, you have to make certain decisions.
That's what's wrong with you people. You people are always doing this.
As a grown man, you got to make different choices, man. At that point.
I mean, I choose not to get. Look, I bet he would have chosen not to get choked up by a little kid, but it happened.
It happened because he punched the kid.
But he had to punch the kid. The kid was invading his personal space.
He's 17, bro. You don't have to punch his ass.
We're not checking IDs right then. I didn't check his ID first. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You knew he was 17. You were playing soccer with him. You don't play soccer with grown ass men in a pickup game.
Obviously, you don't know any Mexicans. Thank you. I swear to God, sorry. I've never seen. Hey, look, we was having like flag football games last year, like, you know, and the Mexicans would come to the field and they would set up like a little, and them niggas would run like a pickup game. They would like pick. I was just like, are they running a pickup soccer game? I'm sitting there just watching it, like. This shit is amazing. Like, then you see some nice, like, I'm like, whoa, this FIFA shit y'all out here doing, man. Like, so yes, all right, Mexicans on Sundays. Go, man, look, them niggas had cleats on and everything. That was an unofficial game, man. What are you talking about?
Hey, man, look, the only thing I condone in this whole thing is that it was just a fight. No one pulled out a gun. Nobody got shot. I'm all for that.
I think somebody should have stopped Lil Youngin when they seen the antagonizer going on. Somebody should have stepped in, but like, yo, chill. The dude's name was like Luke or whatever. Chill, man. Like, you know, he's a comedian, man. Chill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, everybody jumped in and recorded. That's what they did.
That's the problem with everybody. Instead of doing something, you pick up your phone and hit the red button instead of saying, "Hey, man, chill." Everybody want the world star moment, man.
Why is it that everybody records and stops doing anything else? Like, you can record and try and break some shit up, too.
No, you can't, because what's the point of you recording it if I'm breaking it up?
Well, sometimes you just, like, if you're recording to document some shit, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So, if you're recording just to document what's happening and you break it up, that's all good. But most of you motherfuckers are recording shit so people can see it, not to report it, just so you can enjoy the ass whooping or whatever's going on, and people getting fucked up out there.
Yes, sir.
I think if you see some shit, do some shit. If you feel that involved, or if you're going to stay away, if you're not going to help the situation, why are you recording? I don't know, man. It's, It's just sad, man. I feel bad for Cat. I feel bad for Lil Dude. Like, this is just bad.
Lil Dude's having the best week ever. He's popular. What are you talking about? Like, he's doing radio interviews now. Like, he's having he's up there, like, with the dude that slam plies, man. Like, he's having the best week ever. Like, Lil Dude, everybody care about his little dusty ass. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, have you seen that, man? I mean, shout out. His name is, like, Luke. Luke's, what is the name? I've seen it. 17.
We're not going to do this.
Luke Mash, or Luke Moss, or something that. Like that.
His name Wash. Sam Nigg.
That's his name. Luke Wash. That's his name.
See, these names don't even, like, that sounds staged, just like Nig's story last week. These names don't even sound real no more. Is this music news? Beyonce's cousin fine as hell.
She not just fine.
Is that music news?
Hey, that we can say it's music news. It's got Beyonce in it. It's got to be
that
music
news. So Beyonce was at, I feel like this is a funeral. This is real fucked
Uncle
up.
Uncle Skip's funeral.
It's real bad. So there's a picture of the trio. It's Beyonce and her two cousins, one on the left side, one on the right side. And the memes going around and saying that when you realize Beyonce is the Kelly Rowland of the group.
Now, Beyonce was the second baddest in that picture.
She may be the third baddest.
Whoa, sorry.
Look, man. She may be the third baddest in that picture.
So, Jesus Christ.
Look. Kristen Douglas, which is her cousin, is fine as hell. Mm. And thicker than frozen gumbo.
Kristen Douglas, who is a nurse, a mom to two beautiful children. She's a Taurus, and this is her only page.
So when she started this shit, when this picture posted, she had 2,000 followers.
Less than 2,000.
How many does she have now, Jern?
90,000.
Shit. And since we've been started this show, she's gained 5,000 more followers. What the fuck is going on? Oh, look, it's a badass picture.
That ass is what's going on. Cause it look, hey, cause we was riding back, we was coming back from our spring break, and they was talking about it on the radio, and they was like, oh, we gotta talk about it. He said Beyonce went to a funeral this weekend, but that ain't what we talking about. And I was like, oh, that's it. Even they gonna talk about Beyonce cousin. So, you know, anytime I bring up another woman around my wife instantly goes into detective mode. So she goes, finds the picture I'm talking about, oh, her cousin ain't all that. I said, which one we talking about? I said, the one in the blue dress. I said, I'll make sure you want to talk about the one in the black. First of all, who wears a blue dress to a funeral?
Right.
I thought it was customary to wear black to a funeral. So if you wear this blue, knowing you got all this ass, you know what you was doing, Kristen. I ain't mad at you, Kristen MD, since you're a doctor, nurse, or whatever you are. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, that's all I can say is, hey, like, damn. I'm sure y'all seen the picture by now. If you feel like it, leave us a comment. But did you?
It's gonna be the cover photo for this forecast, so don't worry.
Have you seen the other pictures on her Instagram before?
What? I follow her. What are you talking? I'm one of the 90,000. Huh? So soon as be easy, send it to us. Like, yo, Beyonce cousin. I hit the follow button first, and then I went through and looked at the rest of her pictures. Oh my god, she got an 18-year-old daughter. That's pretty bad too. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Doesn't that get weird at that point? Like. How old is she if she got an 18-year-old daughter?
Yeah, sorry, she around your age. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so can you like the mama and the daughter?
Look. Technically, legally, yes.
That's
yes.
That's weird. It's also weird for your mama to be fine like that.
Yeah. I mean, when you got a fine mama like that, man, like, man, that's got to be tough. Because then she got a little brother like, yo, man, like... Hey, yo, man, the little dude got to get, he better get his weight up, man. Because niggas going to be looking at your mama ass for the rest of your life, my nigga.
Rest of your life, bro. You got to come out swinging. Hey,
look, niggas going to look at you, little nigga, then look at your mama, and then look back at you. And then she going to hurt, little nigga.
You got to be ready to fight on sight. Like, anytime a dude say, yo, can I spend the night? You got to whoop his ass. Immediately. Immediately.
Any of your friends, you better go ahead and ready knuckle up, nigga.
Immediately. As soon as they say, yo, can I spend the night over here? You got to whoop his ass. Don't even let him finish. Whoop his ass. Cause it's going bad. You either after your mom or your sister, it's going bad, bro. But she's my early winner of the week. Like, I don't have another winner. She's my winner of the week.
Yes, her ass is my winner. One of my winners.
She's fine, like, all around. Like, not just the ass. She's
look,
fine.
That ass though, man. That shit just got that little, like, you just want to grab that motherfucker from the bottom, nigga. Like, whoa,
easy. Hey, man, she had the best week ever. That's all I'm saying, man. Props to you.
One person. You know, Super Project. One person the best week ever.
She having one of the best weeks ever. You know,
like her, your boy to beat up Cat Williams, or somebody else.
Hey, RG3 having the best week ever. You know what I'm saying? If you RG3, like, have you heard? You heard the news, right?
Nope. Don't hear no news. All right. What are you talking about?
He signed with the Browns.
I mean, well, at least you get to play. I mean, yeah,
is playing for the Browns
really playing? Who signed with the Browns? Who signed with the Browns?
RG3.
Oh, the quarterback. Robert Griffin III. Like, who is this guy? I heard of him.
Ain't this a bitch? Would you play for the Browns?
Would I play on the bench? Like, he didn't play last year. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, yes, I would play for the Browns. The Browns still an NFL team. No matter how horrible they are, they still an NFL team. And, hey, they guarantee you get to play 16 games a year. You might even win 5 of them. You know what I'm saying? That's just like, come on, man.
Hey, man, staff infections and bad teams and losing philosophies. And it just sounds like purgatory. I would rather go somewhere and be a backup. I don't know.
Yeah. How bad is it? They let Johnny Manziel go and brought in RG3. How bad it is.
But they had to think about letting Manziel go. Like, it took them a while to cut him.
Because the fans love him. They're just like, yo, he's our fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Let him stay here. You know what I'm saying? But
Manziel is like the NFL version of Trump. Like, he just brings out the worst in people. He's horrible.
I guess.
He beating up his baby.
But he giving that much credit.
He whooped people's ass. If you had a team, who would you start? Now, this is a real question, Jern. I really mean this when I ask this. You had a team starting up. You need to pick a quarterback, and you got Manziel or Tebow.
Give me Tebow.
Like, even though you know Tebow can't throw,
I still take him over Manziel. Because Manziel the same way.
You say Manziel can't throw?
All Manziel do, he runs around, tries to do that little run around bullshit, but he don't understand that shit don't work in the NFL. And then he just throws it. No, no accuracy, no nothing. And nigga go out there and get it. Same thing. So give me Tebow, man. At least I know Tebow ain't going to fuck up on Saturday night. He'll be there for me Sunday. This you know what I'm saying? You know, like, I know he's going to be there. He's not going to do nothing stupid. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to do nothing stupid outside the game to mess him up. You know, so he might throw an interception, fumble, you know, not read the coverage right. Whatever. I can live with that. As long as you ain't a fuck up off the field. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true. We got TV talk this week.
Oh, a little bit, man. You know, we're running late, so all right.
We got to wrap it up. We've been talking to him for like over an hour or some shit.
But we can't finish TV talk without talking about what happened this week, so all right.
Friday Night Tights is back again.
Finale.
Double.
Finale.
We got the end of one season and start of another season. So the finale, the only thing that really matters to me at this point is that the Outlaws got the win. I don't give Outlaws a shit about the Mustangs.
Hey, look, they tried to fuck the Outlaws. Oh. I had a bad feeling watching the show, sorry, when they said Outlaws play a game today, and if we win, we play again tomorrow. Who the fuck plays football 2 days in a row?
No, that don't happen. What did the other team play? What was their situation?
Look, I don't know. The other team must have played the day before or some shit like that.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
But I felt like it was going to be some bullshit. When they said that, I was like, so you're going to play a game today and play tomorrow? Like, who does that? Like, Snoop, if this is your football, you got to do better than this, man.
Well, so I knew the jig was up when Snoop said the Esquire Championship. So Esquire sponsored the championship for this year. Right. That's exactly how I felt when he said it. I was like, no. Like, did you have to do that? So I'm already like, all right, so the Outlaws gonna win. But they whooped that ass. They whooped 40-9? That was a championship game. They whooped that team's ass.
You sure? No, it's all right. You sure?
That's the championship game, because your boy Mizell scored like 4 of the touchdowns. They whooped their ass.
No, it's all right. That was a semi game that kicked that team to steal that little team ass. But the championship game, I remember the other team, it was close or something.
No, that's the other game was close.
Let me see. No, it's all right now.
Hey, I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. And I usually am, 9 times out of 10. But they whooped that team ass because they were talking all that shit. They was like, it's only one dude. And they whooped his ass. Mizell was destroying them.
Let's see. I'm going to look it up real quick.
If we can look it up. But either way, the Outlaws came to play. They showed out. They had a really good game. And I'm proud to see them come back to form. You know what I'm saying? Coach Mo was getting into it again with Fred, which does that mean Coach Mo is gone next season?
No.
Is Mo going
to
quit?
Like he said, man, just tell me what you want me to do. I'm going to get it done. And then, you know, he just like, they're just in the middle of battle. It'd be like that. You know, he said, at the end of the day, we're going to do what you want me to do. So, but just you know, like, you know, so I.
See, and that was the game before. That was when he was trying to decide between the two quarterbacks. And Fred told him to put old boy back in at quarterback. And he got mad. That's when they were struggling it out. That was the tougher game. The last game is when them cats was coming out and they was talking shit. And they was like, outlaws, outlaws. And I was like, oh, these cats disrespecting you. They calling you little cowboy, horse riding motherfuckers, like all that shit. And that's when they showed up because Mizell was showing out. When it was 24-0 or some shit, Mizell had scored 3 of the touchdowns.
He scored like, because he ran 2, had a pick 6.
Yeah, I think he ended up with pick 6 and a fumble recovery. Like, they whooped that ass. So it was dope to see them come back and get the win, get the championship. I just don't like the fact that it was the Esquire champions, the Esquire national title game. I didn't like that. That felt like some bullshit. And then we had the Typha League and the Mustangs won. I guess that's something we should be proud of or some shit. It kind of lost it to me. Like, I don't feel like we got enough about the Mustangs to really care. And they ended up with the championship at the end. And it just felt like we saw the other Outlaws with the Z more than we saw the Mustangs. And I feel like they kind of, the editing, like we've talked about before, kind of screwed up this season. But did the Predators coach, is he quitting?
The Predators coach?
Yeah, the shitty uniforms, the white boy.
I don't know what happened to him, man. Like, I don't know what happened.
Like, his talk at the end of it sounded like he was saying it was too much, so he was hanging it up. So it sounded like they won and done, right? Because that's their first year?
Yeah, this was his first year there.
So it sounded like he's one and done because they were showing to put up all the equipment and all that other shit. So I don't know. We didn't get much closure on the Storm. We don't know what's happening with the Storm next season. If they just one and done because their boy Justice is gone.
So, yeah, like, like, do y'all care about any other kids? Like,
no, they're like that. Well, Justice is gone. We out. Good luck, kids. So I'm interested to see what they do. But then Steel City came on next. What do you think about the episode of Steel City we got to see?
I couldn't get into it because one, the OJ show was on. So once I watched, you know, I had to go watch the OJ show, and then I kind of turned to it, and you know, I caught it on the replay after OJ went off, and it was just like I couldn't get into it, man.
The intro, I think the intro. So the first episode, I don't remember the first episode of the other show being like this. They went through and tried to give a background on each team, which was a little like, I get it, but we here for the football, bro. I don't really care, like, you know, no offense, but I don't really care what's going on in Aliquippa. I don't care what's going on in Ambridge. I don't care, like, I'm not concerned with that. I just want to see the teams and let's go. But you give me a background on the city and one of them cats is the mayor and nobody cares about that. Who's your early favorite out of the six teams? We got the Aliquippa Quips, we got the Ambridge Bridgers, the Blackhawk Cougars, the Central Valley Warriors, the Monaca Indians, and the Beaver Fall Tigers.
Yeah, like I said, I really, like, I was watching, the part I saw, there was like, they were, the parents was arguing about some coach, and they was talking about he need to be replaced, and that was like, you know, and I was just like, I just can't get into it, and so I didn't see any other football, so don't know, I mean, I had to catch up with y'all next week on that.
Hey, man, the Central Valley Little Warriors is my early pick.
Central Valley Little Warriors, okay.
Their coach is really intense, and he drills them kids. It's not just out there hitting. He's drilling them on and recognizing plays. Like, it's real serious. But them cats are like they out there to play. They beat up the little Cougars. They didn't beat them up. They got the first win against the little Cougars. And I think the Aliquippa little Quips whooped somebody's ass. It might have been the Bridges or some shit. I forget. But it's interesting to see how that goes. One of the things I want to bring up to you also is that I think it's the little Cougars. They have 9 coaches. How many coaches do you have on your team?
Including myself, 4.
Right. So, right. So, what do 9 coaches do?
Jesus Christ. I don't know. Like, run over each other?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Look, just early football registration for the Outlaws. If you're a returning player, it's $75. Or $125, you know what I'm saying, after the deadline. Cheer registration is $350.
Wait, who registration?
To cheer for the
Outlaws. To cheer is $300?
350. Not 350. God.
They killing him.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, man.
Coach Bo was still there. He's the athletic director.
Hey, man.
You can call him on his cell phone if you want to talk to Coach Mo. 210-668.
Hey, man, don't do that.
90. It's on the internet.
They can look it up. We don't put that on the show. He ain't paying us.
I mean, if you just want to call him and prank call
Coach Mo. Hey, if you want to call Coach Mo, look him up.
210-668.
Hey, man, don't do that. Oh, you know I'm going to edit this out, right? He ain't gave us no money. He ain't been on no show. As much as you talk to them, he should be on the show. Hmm. What would you ask Coach Mo? What's the one question you would ask him?
What brand of tobacco do you chew?
Why would you ask him that shit?
Because, hey, I asked him some off-the-wall shit. And I would say, yo, why did you cuss that little kid out after you said you went? I said, I know it might have been the editing, dog. But you said you went to cuss him, and then that first game, buddy got that little penalty. You said, what the fuck is wrong with you?
My question would be, why is Coach Baby Daddy always cussing?
Guillory, yes.
Guillory cusses every other word. He always yelling. Like, damn, bro, calm down. It ain't that serious.
Fred coaches the 12 and under team and the 6 and under team.
So Fred's still coaching two teams. Mo is the athletic director for both teams?
Mo is the athletic director for the whole Outlaws, this whole San Antonio Outlaws, the what you want to call it? Yeah, franchise.
This shit is crazy, man. That's not bad money though. So they making a little change. I wonder how much that they have to pay to the Snoop League and then pay for uniforms and shit. Maybe they're not making no money. Not even think about it.
I want to see the score of the game, man. Because I just,
hey, fuck it. Watch the episode. I could be completely wrong.
I know. That's all right. I think you are, man. I'm trying to, you know.
Yes, we're definitely looking this up.
Yeah, look, we fact checking everything.
Because this is like the one thing we talked about in this episode that we actually care about. We actually watched this show.
Because they played the Patriots in the championship game, right?
Yeah, with them ugly-ass uniforms.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't understand the whole, like, they made you wear another uniform?
Yeah, so you got, I mean, you could. You could pick another uniform, but that Patriots uniform was terrible. It had the weird-ass electric and shit all over it or whatever, camouflage or whatever that was.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They did kick their ass. I ain't see the score, but somebody said they sucked.
Yeah, because they came out there talking all that shit, and they got whooped. It was like 40-9.
Well, it must have been the semifinal game that was close.
The semifinal was the close game. And then that's what I said, because the other team came out there, and they was talking all that shit, and then that's what they whooped their ass. It was like, they only got one dude, and they couldn't stop him. But I'm looking at this, so I guess this is the rankings for next season. Mm. It has the San Antonio Outlaws as second.
Damn.
So it has the Fast Camp Eagles as number one. Union selected North Houston Gators. So there's another Houston team in the Snoop League. Well, I guess so, because it's the Houston, Texas title. But the Outlaws are number two. How is your champion second? They must have lost some more teams.
They must have
lost some more players, yeah. Mm. I don't know. But I'm definitely interested in seeing how this plays out. I feel like they should just cover the Snoop League now. Like, let Typha go. The Colts are gone. The Mustangs got their win. We don't care about these other teams of Typha. The Junior Rockets are gone. Just go ahead and let's just talk about the Snoop League and the Steel City League. We'll see what happens there. But anyway, man, do you want to get these people's the Keep It 100?
Hey, man, Keep It 100 this week, man. I wrote it down. Man, a lot of things were going on, and people have been coming to man, a lot of enlightenment has been going on and with people. But I'm not going to, you know, make this about anybody specifically. But I just want everybody to know, J. Cole had a song called Love Yours. And listen to me to that song, man. You might see, you know, your next door neighbor got a nice Ferrari or whatever. You know, if you live in Saw Right neighborhood, your neighbor have a Ferrari. You know what I'm saying? You might live in, you know, your neighbor might have a bigger house than yours. Like, you know, if you live in Saw Right neighborhood, everybody got big houses. You know, but look, be happy with what you got, man. You know what I'm saying? You might not have the biggest ass, biggest titties, the biggest dick, whatever. Wow. Be happy with what you got, man. Wow. You know what I'm saying? You can't have Jordans like Saw Right. You can't drive Lamborghinis like Saw Right. But I'm still happy. You know what I'm saying? I understand. My life, Saw Right life better than mine, but I love my life. You know what I'm saying? And so, look, love yours, man. That's all I'm saying, man. That's it.
So we're just going to do a whole Keep 100 line on me, huh? So, give these people your winners and losers. So we
man,
get
my winner this week, man, is Big Primetime. If you do not follow him on Instagram, it's at Big Primetime. This guy, he serves deadbeat fathers their papers. And he serves it to them by tackling their ass like he's a fuck, like he's a fucking linebacker or some shit.
Like Terry Tate, the office linebacker?
Bro, yes, he has, but he has shoulder pads on. And he comes through.
Wait. Time out, man. You talking about you legit hitting people?
Sorry.
He out in the streets with shoulder pads. Sorry. Right. Grown ass men in suits.
Look, serve, and then serving them papers, dog. He asks him, like, let's say Van Zee be like, yo, you saw all right? And you be like, yeah. Boom, he just tackle your ass. You've been served.
That's hilarious, bro. Ain't that a song?
I'm dying. I'm watching the video. I'm like, yo, this is the most craziest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Is it only on Instagram?
I mean, they got the whole, like, the best of. If you look on YouTube and put in Big Prime Time, you know, they have, like, the little, his great, you know, they have all the.
I just want to watch.
All the stuff. Yeah, they got, like, part one and part two. Might even be a part three or something like that.
I want to watch one right now.
Yes, man.
I want to see one right now. This is a big grown ass man.
Yeah, you're a big dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Prime Time.
Hold on, man. Hold on. Can y'all hear this? Can you hear this? Let me press play real quick. Can you hear that? Mm-mm. Damn. So I'm watching one now. He done got out the car. He has on a shirt that says, "You've been served in shoulder pads." T-shirt over it. He's walking up. It is a dude behind him with a camera. He said, "Are you such and such?" And that's it. He straight up hit his ass. He straight hit this nigga. And now he hit the other dudes. The dudes that tried to jump in and help him. This is real shit.
Yes, man.
Hold on, man. I don't believe that shit, bro.
He talking to some yo. He like he served paper. Like you give him a call and let him know, like, hey, baby daddy behind X amount of dollars, and he go, you know, you can't get up with him. You need somebody serving the papers. So he go do the leg work and serving the papers, because you know, I guess you got to get served the papers or whatever for it to be legit.
Look, man, I'm gonna go ahead. I don't mean to jump in on your winners, but I'm gonna go ahead and say rest in peace, Big Primetime. Because you get shot, bro. You'll get shot. You can't just run up on people hitting like that.
He told me he going to Atlanta. He said, shoot. And he told me, man, I can't wait. He said, we need to go to the West Coast to get some of that money. He said, man, nigga probably shoot me over there. Yeah. Oh, nigga, you going to get shot in your town. Like, you keep
shot.
It up.
Yeah, you going to get shot, bro. Anyway, man, who's your loser this week?
All right, I got another winner, so all right.
You got another winner?
Yes.
Who's the other winner?
My other winner is the voice of Nappy Afro.
Why would you say Tracy Mays a winner?
And I'm going to say this the most respectful way I can.
Oh, God.
Tracy May took some photos this week, and I'm glad she stepped out there and put herself out there like that.
So she's a photographer now. That's her new career change. She's taking pictures. She's a photographer.
No, she's on the other end of the camera.
Oh, she was in the
picture. The actual, the what do you call that, man? The focal point.
Wow.
And she put out some nice tasteful pictures this week that, you know, had the internet going wild. You know what I'm saying? If you check certain little, you know, Garner style Facebook page, you might see Tracy May on there, 12,000 likes or 9,000 shares or whatever. And you know, so shout out, she's my other winner. You know, hey, props. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's all I can say. That's, I don't want to say too much, because you know, this would be the broadcast my old lady listened to, so I'm just gonna keep it clean.
Don't need no problems, man. Just check them out if y'all ain't seen them.
Can't look, man. We can't put it all out there like that. So
she ain't paid us, so I'm gonna put it out there. I'm just gonna say, just Google.
You think that'll come up in Google?
If you know what to search for, sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that's y'all. Do your homework. Who are your losers, though?
Oh, my loser this week, man. Anybody that represents Michigan State, give my loser.
That would be my cousin.
Because y'all motherfuckers fucked up 85% of the brackets in America, man. Most brackets had y'all going far. Y'all fucked it up for everybody, especially me. I had y'all motherfuckers. I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, I was drinking. I had y'all bitches in the championship game.
Who now you thought they had, Mateen Cleaves?
Man, fuck Mateen Cleaves, man. It's like... I hate that motherfucker. Now. That's one motherfucker. If I see him, he catch fade on sight, nigga.
Why? What did he do to you?
I hate Mateen Cleaves, man.
What did he do, man?
That fake ass Magic Johnson wannabe ass nigga. Any? Yeah, Michigan State, you are my loser. And then let me see. I had another loser. Oh, all the people talking bad about Kirk Franklin doing the Millie Watt while he was out there listening to Rain Down on Me, nigga. That shit was live as a motherfucker. Kirk Franklin was doing the Dougie on y'all ass. Then he busted Stanky Leg on y'all ass. Then the nigga did the Millie Watt. I was like, yo, Kirk Franklin, that nigga. Then he had the sickest look on his face. Like, he was so serious, nigga. So, Kirk Franklin, anybody talking bad about that man, y'all can't talk bad about it. That man dancing for Jesus. And y'all got to...
Millie Rock for Jesus.
He was Millie Rocking for Jesus.
We gotta go ahead and put that in. It's gotta be a shirt. Millie Rock for Jesus gotta be a shirt. Just saying. I ain't doing no winners and losers because this show been long, man. King Jerry's my winner this week. He's my winner every week. He's the most electrifying motherfucking podcasting ever. So, you know, that's what it is. This is Nappy Afro. This is the Frocast episode 201. I'm your man, Saul Wright, the Black Alex P. Keaton, sitting in with the most electrifying motherfucking podcaster today, yesterday, and forever. We will holler at y'all on another episode of the Frocast next time. Might be next week, might be next month, because y'all don't care. Y'all don't care about us, man. We out. Peace. Tell people peace. Yeah.
I'm saying it, man.
God damn. You focusing on the pictures.
Oh, you know what? Look.
Yeah, what's up? This is PTZ, aka The Thriller Man, tuning in to Nappy Afro to get the hottest and honest reviews. So if you're at work or at home, you can't go wrong. Hit up Nappy Afro. Deuces.
NappyAfro.com.